Needs of the Work in the Nashville Area. Washington, July 23, 1904. During our visit to Nashville, we saw the necessities of the work there and its great need of help. I wish to speak of the work that Brethren Sutherland and Megan are to do in the education of young men and young women. I was surprised when, in speaking of the work they wished to do in the South, they proposed to establish the school in some place a long way from Nashville. From the light given me, I knew that this would not be the right thing to do. Nashville has not yet been worked. The work that the experience gained at Berrien Springs enables these brethren to do should be carried on within easy touch of Nashville. It will be a great advantage to them to be near enough Nashville to be able to counsel with the workers there. God's builders are to plan together and aid one another. In searching for a location for the school, Brethren Megan and Sutherland found a farm of 400 acres, about 9 miles from Nashville. The place seemed to be suitable for their work, but the price was higher than they had thought of paying for land. But they found no other place more suitable, and I encouraged them to purchase this farm. I knew that all the land would be needed for the work of the students and to provide homes for the teachers. The providence of God has been working in leading these brethren, with the experience they have gained at Berrien Springs, to feel that they must labor in the southern field. The Lord helped them at every step in their work at Berrien Springs, as they steadily advanced, determined that obstacles should not hinder them. They worked unselfishly, and what better evidence can anyone ask in proof that they have succeeded than the success that they have had? We know that the Lord has been impressing their minds to aid in the work in the southern field. In their schoolwork in the south, they can labor in union with the Berrien Springs School, making visits to it and gaining help from it. I am bidden to call them up to even a higher plane of action than that on which they stood at Berrien Springs. These men are not leaving Berrien Springs because of dissension or strife. They are not fleeing from duty. They are leaving a place where the work has been built up to go to a new field where the work may be much harder. They have means enough to pay only part of the price of the land. Shall they be left to struggle as they did at Berrien Springs at the sacrifice of health and life? God forbid. The effort there cost both Brother Sutherland and Brother Megan a great deal. Brother Megan had 2 attacks of fever, which nearly cost him his life, and we all know that his wife died recently, leaving his children motherless. These men have been tried in the furnace of affliction. They are willing to take hold anew in a difficult field. We ask our people to make their work as pleasant and agreeable as possible, which should be done for all our self-denying workers, by assisting them in the establishment of their schoolwork. I invite those who would feel it a privilege to help in the establishment of this school to send their donations to those in charge. I mention the work of Brethren Sutherland and Megan because God has recognized them. I ask you to help the work in the southern field by aiding them in the carrying forward of their schoolwork. The poverty and the needs of the southern field call urgently for your assistance. There is a great work to be done in this field, and we ask you to help Brethren Sutherland and Megan in their work there. While we were in Nashville, we went to see a property that we were told the owner was willing to sell for a price far below its cost. There were those who thought that this property would be suitable for sanitarium work. We would say that the house and the grounds were indeed beautiful. The house was grandly designed and beautifully finished, and the property was offered at a reasonable price. But we had not the slightest temptation to invest means in that splendid mansion, and we told the owners the facts in the case. They could but see that our refusal to purchase was sensible. They would have been glad to see the property used for sanitarium purposes, but they saw that we would not be able to utilize the house without spoiling its beauty by altering the rooms. and they honored our judgment. The changes that we would be obliged to make would throw the building out of harmony. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20 to 24.
Those who engage in God's work as medical missionaries must minister to all, rich and poor, high and low. We are all servants of God. It must be our will to carry out His will. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 31. Let all who are engaged in the various branches of the work of God study the first and second chapters of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 to 16. In these statements, there is no sophistry. All who choose to understand them may know their real meaning. We are now to wrestle with problems that no dwarfed intelligence can comprehend. These deep, far-reaching problems require the exercise of the highest powers of the intellect. Bible truth has for its author He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. God is waiting for His people to commit their thoughts to Him. Do not fasten them upon the sophistries of man, the science of the legions of fallen angels. God would have your thoughts stayed upon Him. Then your intellect will be ennobled, and you will be able to endure the seeing of Him who is invisible. I have written these things that you might be wide awake. I have traced these words that you might understand where your strength lies. God's people are not to be cowed down by the assertions or claims of men. Break every yoke that men would put upon your necks. Each is to stand in God's strength as a free man, keeping all the commandments of Jehovah.